Welcome back to another episode of the Money Mentor Podcast with Chief Economist Dr. Andrew Wilson at My Housing Market. We've got a very special podcast this week. So big happy birthday to Mr. Yeah. Home, our fearless leader, wow. Graham's birthday. So a big happy birthday and a shout out to Graham as well.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
Very special episode. So I hope the Easter Bunny found you all, and I hope the Easter Bunny found you as well, Doc. So good to have you back again. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, and it's we're back from the Easter break, of course. It was a lot of fun, really. I don't really go for chocolate in a big way, but that doesn't mean those around me don't. So I had to resist the gorging, you know, the constant munching of Easter eggs and Easter bunnies and stuff like that.
Well, if you're doing the 75 hard, Graham will be watching over you. So he's always watching if you're on the 75 hard challenge or the 60 strong challenge. So he's always watching over, and you're spending as well.
Yeah, no, I'm doing okay. So we don't have to get to those levels yet, but we'll keep an eye on it. But it has been a pause weekend for the auction market, of course. Easter, we did have some results, and we'll have a look at them, but there were basically no auctions in Canberra, Adelaide and Brisbane. There was a handful of auctions in Melbourne and over 100 auctions in Sydney. So we'll have a quick look at those results. But we've got some interesting data today. We're going to have a look at the top auction suburbs so far this year. Just a quick look at that. We'll be producing this data more frequently. We're just going to have a very quick overview of the top suburbs in each of the capitals for auctions. But we'll go into some further depth down the track. I think it's good for those in the market to know where the energy is in terms of the most popular suburbs, certainly the most popular suburbs in terms of clearance rates. We won't show it today, but we're also going to be able to look at the most successful, the top auction agents. So which agents have the most auctions and which are in each capital and per region, and which agents have the best results in terms of clearance rates. So we'll have a look at that as well. So again, it's some good information, on the ground information, real-time information for buyers and sellers, understand where the energy is in our auction markets. But we're sort of doing that as a bit of a tickle, because we didn't have a really strong week. We had a very weak weekend in terms of auction numbers because of the Easter break. But don't worry about that, because we've got other stuff to talk about today. And of course, being the beginning of the month, drum roll, we have the latest house price data. And boy, oh boy, was it strong. I had to do a bit of a double take when I first, well, I saw it coming through, and we sort of alluded to that over the month, that they looked particularly strong. And yes, strong they were. They've come out, the data is the growth rates. We have to go back 2 years to see growth rates as strong as what we recorded over March. We shouldn't be surprised, because auction markets have been up and about this year, as we've discussed so far. And we've had record numbers of auction sales from record numbers of auction listings. So no surprise that's putting upward pressure on prices. And we've certainly had that for both units and houses. And of course, we're past the holiday period now in terms of those quarterly data sets. We've passed through January and February. So we're now getting a much more reflective spectrum of property sales. So we're getting a bigger proportion, or larger proportion, of higher priced properties in the market. So that acts as a sort of a seasonal effect to push prices up, even though our data at My Housing Market is modelled to account for seasonality. At the end of the day, you know, you do have a big change from January into March in terms of the proportion of properties coming in. We get a much higher proportion of higher properties coming into the market in March. We've seen that. Of course, that does put upward pressure on the model of house prices, but we have some adjustment processes that tend to offset that, so we have a much consistent month by month by quarter model. So I've got you all excited. I can tell. I can feel the excitement vibe there. So I guess we better get started, Glenn. Do you think?
Yeah, let's get into it
and go through. We've got lots of stuff to talk about today, and of course, My Housing Market provides our data, and I'm the chief economist of that particular entity. We are all about looking at the current state and future prospects of housing markets. Our commentary is supported by a robust set of data, in-house data. So our pricing, listings data, is all sourced through ourselves independently. And we're pretty pleased with our product in terms of it providing us with the signposts to understand what's happening in the housing market. So let's have a look at what happened to the week to Wednesday, April the 3rd. And we're going to today look at, as I mentioned, the latest home price data. That's for the March quarter versus the February quarter. We're also going to look, put together, we did that, Glenn, last month. We introduced our housing market cycle model results. We're going to update those results with this latest data. We're also going to include some extra capital cities this time. So we're going to look at some of the smaller capitals in terms of adding that to our cycle model. So that will be interesting to see how our capital city markets are tracking in terms of their relative position on the housing market cycle. We had the latest retail sales released last week. Quite interesting data. I don't want to give too much away, but we had another rise, and really retail sales have challenged the theory that higher interest rates were going to stop people spending, because they're still spending. Even though the ABS was sort of busily giving us some reasons why retail sales rose again over February, and it had a little bit to do with somebody by the name of Taylor Swift. I'm not sure if you've heard of her at all, but apparently that's what generated, according to the ABS, the rise in retail selling over February. Well, who knows? But we'll also look, as I said, that new data on the top auction region suburbs, and maybe not the agents today, but we'll use that as a bit of a teaser for next time to see who are the top performing estate agents, auction agents in each of our capital cities. So let's have a look at the latest home prices. So home prices surge over March 2024, and I don't think surge is an overstatement in terms of describing the strength of the growth. We did have a slowish start to the year this year. The January quarter data was flattish. Again, as I mentioned, perhaps some seasonal effects there. And also the market just took a breath after what was a strong 2023. And we did start to see a decline in prices growth in most of the capitals over the back end of 2023. And that translated into the beginning of the year with that January quarter data flat. February started to pick up. So we started to see some energy growing. The February data was positive. And that the March quarter data has built on that and has been quite strong. So no surprise, you know, that we've had strong auction results. As I mentioned before, those auction clearance rates are always a good forward indicator of what's happening on the ground in terms of housing market, general housing market activity. And once again, it's proven to be the case with some strong results going forward. We'll talk about some of the underlying drivers of that when we go through the numbers. But it was a very good start. It has been a very good first 3 months start to the year for homeowners in terms of prices growth, and really across the board too. You know, there's obviously stronger performers and weaker performers. But one of the interesting things is we didn't get any negative growth for the capitals over the March quarter for both houses and units, which is quite remarkable, and just shows, you know, we're back into the main part of the year and that there's plenty of confidence and you know, plenty of buying and selling activity happening. And really, the data is, again, early days, let's be clear, pointing to maybe another double-figure year for national house price growth, you know. So may have to start revising our forecasts going forward. But it is early days. A lot of water to go under the bridge, and we will discuss the drivers of higher house price growth shortly. So there's the data. We've the national house price, you can see how it surged over March compared to February. We can see there that the January data was sort of flat, and February picked up, and then we've bounced back stronger over the March quarter compared to that February quarter. So this data is measuring 3 months of house sales. So we're getting a full 3 months, but we're comparing it to the 3 months to February. So we're sort of getting a rolling quarterly data set. So it gives us lots of observations, but we're moving in real time from month to month. So we're not looking back in a static sense at what happened the previous quarter, which would have been December quarter. We're looking at as it's rolling forward. And you can see it's well above where it was over March 2023. And we've had 13 out of the past 14 months, we've had increases in the national house price. So some very good results there. Of course, this is a weighted average house price model. So it does proportion the national price is a proportion of the number of sales in each of the capital cities. And of course, that means that Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, that are the big markets, they really contribute most to that national house price. So a little bit of a Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane type of outcome there. But nonetheless, we can see how that's tracked very consistently over the past 12 months, with the exception of that little steadying result over January, which we did say because the market had the growth rates had started to ease. But these growth rates are now the highest we've seen since October 21. So, you know, it's a strong start to the year over the first quarter. So here are the actual numbers. National housing market, 2.7% increase. These are big numbers. The top results were Hobart, which has been a little up and down over the past year, but bouncing back, up by 3.4%. Sydney also up 3.4%. So they were the top performers over the month. Then we had Melbourne up 2.7%, Darwin up 2.9%. Brisbane kept on keeping on 2.5%. That's been a consistent top performer, that Brisbane market. Median house price in Brisbane is moving towards that $1 million mark irresistibly. That'll be interesting when we do get a $1 million median in Brisbane, and Adelaide's now over 900,000 as well. So, you know, catching up, maybe slowly catching up with the other markets, but certainly Brisbane is closing in on Melbourne in terms of its median house price, which is quite remarkable. And continuing to grow. And at this rate, you know, we may see that $1 million median in Brisbane by the end of the year. But as I said before, a lot of water to go under the bridge. So far this year, Brisbane up 4.5%, Sydney up 3.3%, Perth still the top performer, up by 6.6%, although Perth had a quieter March quarter, up by just 0.8%, but still leading the charge over this year so far. And when we look at the annual growth rates, we can see Perth ahead, 22.4%. Perth's median house price has increased compared to the March quarter last year. Brisbane up 18%, Adelaide up 17%. So they're the big three in terms of performances over the past year. And that's really heady growth, you know. Sydney up 11.1%, still tracking at double-figure growth. Melbourne an underperformer there compared with the, you know, when we look put the larger capitals together, up by just 4.3% over the past year. Still positive, but obviously below the other major capitals. So it's interesting when we go back 2 years, Glenn, and we see the comparisons. This really gives us that, pushes through the cycle in terms of what happened, you know, through COVID, higher interest rates. So Sydney's only 2.4% higher now than when it was 2 years ago. And I think this is one of the key factors driving that Sydney market. It's still good value in the Sydney market. I mean, you're still notionally buying at a discount. Now, wages are rising at record levels. New South Wales has the strongest economy in the country. And yet you can still buy property, which is just a little bit higher in value than what it was 2 years ago, notionally. And I think this is what's driving that Sydney market, that there are still those value opportunities, particularly when you compare it to where Perth, Adelaide and Brisbane are compared to where they were 2 years ago. Obviously, they've increased quite substantially. But and the Melbourne market is a value market because prices in Melbourne are still lower than where they were in March 2021. So that Melbourne market, I believe, is primed to pick up. It's certainly a value market going forward, but I think it just lacks confidence. A few other issues are holding the Melbourne market back, but certainly Melbourne buyers can still get value in terms of where prices are now compared to where they were 2 years ago, because they're lower now than where they were 2 years ago. So, and as I said, I think that's what's driving the Sydney market, the value perceptions. Brisbane, Adelaide and Perth, I think one of the reasons why they've been very strong and can continue to be strong is that, again, value. Because if we look at the average incomes, household incomes in Perth, Adelaide and Brisbane, they're actually not that far, or they're not that different from Melbourne and Sydney. Mm. And yet you can see that there's a big difference in house prices. So there's that affordability advantage. You know, this is big picture stuff. I know every suburb, every region is different. But notionally, I think that's part of what's driving those markets is the fact that there's still value. In other words, if you're earning the same in Brisbane as you are in Melbourne, you're able to buy a house $100,000 cheaper. So that means you can borrow more because you've got the same sort of income, or you can pay for something less. You know, I know these things are all relative, but I do think that's part of what's driving those more affordable markets is affordability, because as I said, their wages aren't that much different from the wages in Melbourne and Sydney. So something to chew on there. So that's house, the house price surge, 2.7% nationally. As I said, the strongest growth rate we've seen since October 21. And certainly, you know, we can justify it with other forward indicators such as auction clearance rates. Units also had a very strong result over the March quarter, up sharply. Now, when we look at the data, 1.7%, not as strong as houses, but still that's a good result, up 1.7% for unit for national unit owners. The top performer there was, again, that Brisbane market, you know, up by 3.8%. It's really had a head of steam up the Brisbane market for units. You know, we always mention that it's not that long ago when the so-called experts were telling us that Brisbane was oversupplied with units, mm-hmm. and that you wouldn't be able to sell a unit no matter what for years and years. And now, you know, they're like hen's teeth. You can't get hold of them. And that's why prices are skyrocketing now. Brisbane's median unit price is now over $500,000. So far this year, Brisbane units up 7.2%. And over the past year, have a look at that, Brisbane unit prices have increased by 31.3%. That's a big increase. Now, Adelaide and Perth have also recorded strong increases. Yeah, and the fact that, you know, there's a lack of supply, as we've always consistently discussed here, the lack of supply, which is driving higher prices. And there's a rising demand for unit living in Brisbane. That's the sort of the new black, has been for a while, particularly inner city Brisbane. You know, it's a different demographic now active, and they're looking for those particularly inner city apartment or that inner city apartment lifestyle. And that's part of what's driving it. But like Brisbane is a significant unit market. You know, we're not talking about a smaller market. Adelaide and Perth, yeah, okay, they've grown strongly as well, but they are a much smaller unit market. So, you know, they can be volatile from period to period, depending on the mix of properties that come through, higher price properties one quarter, lower price properties another quarter. Mm. But yeah, look, some strong results again for Brisbane. Sydney up 1.2%. Melbourne units are starting to move now, Glenn. I think that's, you know, validating again that value opportunities, higher migration as well. And once prices start to move, you will start to see more first home buyers coming into the market. We've seen signs of that. We're going to look at the latest housing loan data next week just to see how first home buyers are going. But there has been a move upwards there. No surprise, but Melbourne up 2.2% over the month, and there's no doubt that there's growing demand in Melbourne units. But again, it's that value, those value opportunities, because Melbourne units, similar to houses, they're still 1.9% lower than where they were 2 years ago. And same with Sydney. Sydney's just 1.6% higher now than where it was 2 years ago. So again, this is part of what's driving that Sydney market with that strong economy and rising wages. Is that sort of value opportunities or perception as a result of prices still being about where they were 2 years ago, you know, even though wages have increased the best part of 10% over that period. And yes, interest rates have increased, but nonetheless, I think that's one of the key drivers of that Sydney market at the moment. So good results there for particularly for Brisbane again, and that's just becoming a standout, that Brisbane unit market. Sydney steady, Melbourne on the rise. And those other smaller markets, which have smaller unit markets, so tend to be volatile. You can see there, Darwin so far is up 16.9% this year. That's because of the lack of or the difference, the volatility in that small Darwin unit market from period to period. And some better signs there for the Canberra unit market as well, up by 3.6% and up around about 3.1% up 3.1%. Over the past year. So, and that's been a market that's moved a little bit sideways. So I think there's some very positive news there from prices. a lot of, you know, commentators have been scratching their heads as to why this is happening. It's interesting that a lot of them are placing the blame on higher prices on migration, which I think is nonsense. So I've done some media this week on that, it's not that, it's those factors we've just explained, because, you know, these prices are rising across the board. And what we're seeing is, as I mentioned, more demand and higher prices in the mid to higher price ranges, which are typically quieter during the holiday period. Now, I'm not sure we're seeing migrants buying, you know, in the inner eastern suburbs of Melbourne or the North Shore of Sydney. You know, I think that's just a little bit of, you know, when that's explained, it's, oh, yeah, you're right, you know. Migration's not really the reason here. Maybe some contributing factors in terms of the rental market, but that's more about lack of supply. This is just the cycle moving forward and rebalancing after those periods we've had of instability over the past 3 or 4 years, COVID, then higher interest rates. So if you want to have a look at that, the full March house and unit price report, there is our QR code. Those that are watching this can just take a quick picture of that, and that will get them a PDF copy of the house and unit price report, which, as I said, is a very positive report for homeowners. Not so much good news, as I said, for first home buyers, because the last thing they want to see is prices continuing to rise. So we mentioned we're going to have a look at the house price cycle. We have a house price cycle model. So that's the real house price cycle. So this is an actual model of the data. And you can see that sort of cyclical wave thing that happens, you know, that's that business cycle type of environment. So what I've done is I've converted that into a model, that sort of shape. And this is a model is based, however, on where house prices were at their previous cyclical peak. So we're talking about a cycle. Mm-hmm. So this is how far house prices are higher from their previous definable cyclical peaks. So you can see there that Perth has moved the highest from its past peak, but Melbourne, Darwin, Hobart and Canberra are still lower, and we sort of discussed that when we looked at the two-year comparisons, are still lower than where they were at their previous cyclical peak. And you can see most of those cyclical peaks occurred around about the same time, and that was just at the end of that COVID boom. Remember the COVID boom that we had in 2022? And then it started to go down as interest rates increased. But it's all around June, March, May 2022 with the previous peak points of the cycle. So this is my model. It's that cycle, but it's a model of the cycle. You can see it's got that wave effect, which is the typical business model cycle. It's all about those peaks and troughs. You can see the peak and the trough. Now, it does have an upward bias. You can see that the peaks are higher than the previous peaks and the troughs are higher than the previous troughs. Well, that's the Australian housing market for you, which when we looked at the real data before, you can see that upward bias quite clearly with the real data over time. So typically our correction, we've got phases. So a correction phase is when prices start falling below a peak point. If we fall below the previous trough point, that's when we sort of enter into that bubble environment, which is a myth because we never really get there. You don't hear much about the bubble anymore. That was, you know, a very popular go-to phrase for the media. The bubble is inflating and it's going to burst. Never happened. Just another fairy tale, because typically prices start to form a trough point, which is higher than the previous trough point, move into a recovery phase. And then when they move above the previous peak point, they're moving to an expansion phase. So look, that's a cycle. That's a model of a cycle. But what we want to do is have a look at how our capital cities, and that's hasn't come up perfectly, but nonetheless, when we look at our cyclical models there, our cyclical model, we can see our phases. And it's not quite defining it, but what we're seeing there in relation to that the data which we looked at before, which showed us how prices have changed since the previous peak, we can see that Melbourne, Darwin, Hobart and Canberra are still below where they were at their previous peak. So they're still in the recovery phase, Glenn. You understand? Mm-hmm. So they're still recovering. So they're still prices there are still below where they were basically 2 years ago. Mm. So there is those value opportunities in those markets. And I think this is a pointer to value opportunities. But when we look at the other markets, we've got Perth, Adelaide, Brisbane and Sydney are all expanding. So they're now all at record prices in terms of the cycle. Mm. Now, we've also got the latest data in terms of prices growth. So that tells you basically the direction of the markets that are heading. So they're actually all heading upwards on the cycle. Even the markets that are in a recovery phase, they're moving closer to the expansion phase. So they're heading closer to the expansion phase, as I said, and I think that's part of what will drive those models in terms of value opportunities. But there's no doubt that Perth, Adelaide and Brisbane have got a head of steam up. We mentioned affordability advantages there, and they're well and truly heading up that expansion phase. So this is sort of indicating, you know, the energy, not just with that we've done with prices, but the energy in terms of the cycle, you know, going forward. And that Sydney market is now back into the expansion phase. So Sydney house prices are at record levels again in terms of the cycle. So I think it's a good model there to understand how our capital city markets are performing in relation to each other on the cycle. And you can see the leaders and the laggards there in terms of activity. And like I said, I think that Melbourne and Canberra particularly, Hobart and Darwin tend to be more volatile, but I think Hobart's got some upside with that volatility. But I think Canberra and Melbourne are offering good value opportunities going forward. We'll see how that pans out this year. We're already seeing early signs of that, particularly in the Canberra auction market. But as I said, Perth, Adelaide and Brisbane really are the top performers now. And there's plenty of momentum in those markets and for the reasons we described before. So I briefly mentioned February retail sales. So we didn't have a lot of data coming through this week for economic data. So retail sales were higher again, up by just 0.3% over the month. This is seasonally adjusted. And they're still up by 1.6% compared to February last year. So this is still not what you'd expect from, you know, all those interest rate increases stopping people spending, which was what was supposed to happen, hasn't happened. We're still seeing higher retail sales growth. And that was followed a rise of 1.1%. over January, so which was a bit of a bounce back because we had that quieter December, which we always have because we have such a strong November because of Black Friday sales. But the ABS has said, okay, they reckon it's all because of Taylor Swift concerts. That's why we got all the increase. People out buying stuff, you know, whatever, entertaining themselves on the way to the concert, on the way back, you know. So that's what the ABS is putting it down to. We'll see. But the whole point is that levels, I mean, they're just, to me, maybe they're just looking for any reason to justify the consistent strength of retail sales, which wasn't supposed to continue to occur. Still, retail sales are still around where they were, are still at those elevated COVID levels, which were, of course, inflated by all those stimulus packages where we went out and spent all that money, which we were supposed to do. We're still tracking at those very high levels. Of course, we have to discount that for inflation and for migration, because that means prices are higher anyway. So that gives us a higher number regardless of the level of spending, and also more people coming in are spending, obviously. So that gives a higher number. But even accounting for that, we're nearly still 40% higher than where we were at the pre-COVID levels, where it was around 27 billion. We're tracking at around 36 billion at the moment. So even accounting for inflation and accounting for migration, we're still out there spending pretty well. And, of course, we know what's driving that particularly is the strong economy with low unemployment. So we had a pause last weekend, our auction markets. We always look at those weekend auction market results because they're a good forward indicator of what's happening. Again, we've proved that with our results over March, the March quarter. We'll update this graphic to look at March quarter versus March quarter prices versus March quarter clearance rates. You can see that relationship in Sydney. And you can see it in Melbourne. And again, it will validate those higher clearance rates translating into higher prices. So the latest results, we had a quiet Easter weekend. Everybody was out eating Easter eggs, you know, or doing whatever.
Myself included.
The numbers were pretty low. I'm sure, well, you wouldn't be able to Pat Malone there, mate, because it was a chocolate feast. But the market paused for the Easter holidays, as we have every year, a little earlier this year. Which will mean it'll be interesting once we get to May and we have all the holidays behind us, school holidays, Easter and Anzac Day, we'll then get a real feel for how our listings are, because we've sort of front-end loaded a lot of stuff because the holidays have come earlier. So we've brought forward perhaps a lot of listings because of that. So we need to really get to May to start to see, let's compare it over, say, the first 5 months of the year rather than the first 3 months of the year. But there's no doubt we've had record numbers of listings and record numbers of sales. So this is the data from last weekend. 130 auctions in Sydney still stood up. I mean, this isn't really representative of the market. But nonetheless, 130 auctions isn't too bad over the holiday period. 70% clearance rate, not too bad. Of course, well below the previous Super Saturday weekend in Sydney. Melbourne, just 62 auctions, 63% clearance rate, similar to what Melbourne's been producing. And we just had a couple of auctions, none in Adelaide, four in Brisbane, one in Canberra. So not much to gain from that. As I said, other than the fact that those numbers are for Sydney and Melbourne, even though those auction numbers are very low and not, as I said, representative of the mix of properties you typically see, that nonetheless, those clearance rates are pretty much what we've been seeing in those markets for most of the year going forward. And this is the monthly data, just updated with those small numbers. The Sydney market is now tracking its clearance rates ahead of a year ago, which is quite interesting. But the big surge came through early winter in Sydney, but certainly strong results there in Sydney over March. Again, validating those February-March results, validating those higher prices that we've seen in Sydney. Melbourne, a little bit lower, and we saw that Melbourne was an underperformer of prices, a little bit lower over March compared to March last year. And Melbourne tracking around about where it was through the end of last year. But as I said, I think that Melbourne market still looks to have some value, but it does lack confidence going forward. So I'm interested to see how Melbourne pans out over the next couple of months. Brisbane holding its own above 60%. Of course, we know it's not the same sort of auction market as we see in Melbourne, Sydney and the other capitals. That Brisbane market tends to have a different attitude towards the auction market. Adelaide, right about where it was a year ago, not quite as strong as through that midwinter period, but still strong enough to be generating, obviously, significant house price growth. And this is the Canberra market, which I think is showing some real early signs of improvement. And we saw that with the prices data. So I think the Canberra market is now starting after quite a lengthy period of subdued activity. You can see through the back end of last year. It typically follows the Sydney market, but it didn't last year. It just sort of remained pretty flat, pretty stagnant, but now starting to shift above 60%. So if it can hold that over the next couple of months, I think we'll start to see that Canberra market prices, moving forward and into recovery phase. So if you're looking for those latest auction clearance rate results, get onto my LinkedIn account. Every Saturday night at 6 o'clock, 6:30 on LinkedIn, you can find the latest capital city results or clearance rates. And every Sunday morning around about 9 o'clock, you can get the full national auction report, which includes regional breakdowns for Sydney and Melbourne. So going forward, we're also going to have more data, as I mentioned, Glenn, about suburbs, our top suburbs, top agents. We're going to start looking at that as a service to our viewers so they can identify some of the suburban and regional hotspots in the auction market. And we're also going to work that into our famous app. So auction data will be also part of the what you can get in terms of the My Housing Market app. I mentioned we've had record data in terms of sales. This is the sales data over the first 3 months of this year compared to the same period last year. Auction sales in Sydney are up by 46.4%. Wow. Mm. 30% higher in Melbourne, 35% higher in Brisbane, 14% higher in Adelaide, and even Canberra's up by 5.6%. So that clearly shows a strong housing market this time of the year compared to the same period last year. It seems as though as many listings have come in, then there's buyers for them, And we know that most buyers are sellers and sellers are buyers. So it's just a cycle, really. And those that sort of say, high listings will mean lower clearance rates. Well, notionally, perhaps, but not realistically, because as I said, most buyers are sellers and sellers are buyers. And this data is very, very strong in terms of the number of auction sales conducted this year in our Cap Weekend auction sales compared to the same period last year. This is a big, big rise. So as I think we said last week, there'll be a lot of smiles on the faces of agents because they'll be getting commission, higher prices, more sales, and also government, state governments with their stamp duty. Hey, you weren't thinking of getting rid of it, were you? Mm. Oh, you'd be missing out on all those positives for this year compared to last year. So I have put together just a quick, and this is what we're going to do.
Beautiful.
So I'm not going to go through this in any great depth, but these are the top auction suburbs over the first 3 months of this year. So but there's a number of ways we could do this. We could look at the top auction suburbs in terms of the number of auctions. But what I've done here is I've looked at the top auction suburbs just for this particular model in terms of 100% clearance rates. So these suburbs have had 100% clearance rates, right? So everything that was listed was sold, that was reported. And I've filtered them in terms of the highest number of listings for the top five. So in Sydney, we've got Lidcombe, Vaucluse, Fairfield West, Canterbury and Ayres. They were the top five. Lidcombe in the west, City in the east, a bit of a mix there. The southwest, Fairfield West, Canterbury, Bankstown, Canterbury, the southwest there. So there's a bit of a mix, prestige in Vaucluse, western suburbs. So maybe some outer suburbs doing a little bit better than the inner suburbs, but they maybe tend to have higher listings anyway. In Melbourne, the top five were Edith Vale, Clayton, South Watsonia, Brooklyn and Montmorency. Again, there's only one inner suburban seat, the Clayton South, which not really a prestige property. So mainly middle and lower income, middle income properties there. The northeast is it always proves to be a popular aspirational target for Melbourne buyers. But we've got the Brooklyn in the west and Edith Vale, which is down towards the peninsula in the southeast. So they're the top suburbs this year so far in Melbourne for 100% clearance rates. In Brisbane, Crestmead, Paddington, Clayfield, Cannon Hill and Park Ridge. A bit of a mixture there, mainly Brisbane, inner Brisbane cities there, but a bit of a mix in locations. Adelaide, Modbury Heights, Ascot Park, Findon, Flagstaff Hill, and Campbelltown. And again, a mix of regions there, those top performers for Adelaide. And just finally, we'll look at Canberra. So Everett, Stirling, Cook, Weston and Deakin all had 100% clearance rates, and they're the top five in terms of the highest number listed. And we've got two in Belconnen, two in Western Creek and one in Canberra Central, the Deakin there. So some interesting data for those that are looking for where the hotspots are for auction activity over the first 3 months of this year. We will produce something in terms of an app where you can search for the top suburbs by clearance rate, by the number of listings, those sort of filters, or you can search by the region. And we're also going to have the top agents, which we might even bring in next week, Glenn, just to see where the top agents were, who the top agents were in each of the capital cities over the first 3 months of this year. That'll be interesting reading for some of our agent friends out there, see who's done well and who hasn't done quite as well. As I mentioned, those auction clearance rates are available on my LinkedIn site. As we finish off, as we are going to do now, we always submit by Housing Market Infinity suburb data app. So if you want to have a first-hand real-time information as to what's happening in every suburb in Australia, get hold of our app. That's the link there. Or you can get that link through the QR code. You have to get up to access the app. It's password protected. You have to get the password through our friends at Infinity. Okay, say that again. Password protected. Infinity has the password. But it's a great little app. It's a comprehensive app. And I've got a screenshot here as an example. You can filter it for a number of factors, price or rent, state and region. Here we're filtering for price. New South Wales, Sydney, we're filtering. Suburb, we're looking at Blacktown, which is a big suburb. We can filter it for house, unit or townhouse. We're filtering that for house. And we can also filter it for the number of beds. So, yeah, you can really drill down into the data. So we're looking at five beds. And when we search that, we see that we have a median of $1,245,000 in Blacktown for a five-bedroom house, a high price of $1.5 million and a low price of $990,000. So we've got the median, the high and the low, and also tells you how many properties there are currently listed for sale. So these are asking prices. So this is telling you exactly here and now what people are asking for their properties to sell them, right? So this gives you a very good idea of value. And it's not just the median, it also gives you the high and the low. So you can sort of see the range between the top property asking price and the lower, the bottom asking price, and also the number that's for sale. So just 9 for sale there. So I think it's, and it will have every suburb in Australia that has that actually has data is in the app. So look out for that one. It is updated daily, so you do get the data coming through daily, and it's quite a handy little one to have on the phone. You know, if you're looking to see a particular suburb, your suburb or a suburb you're interested in, just how it's performing, this will tell you straight away. This is also another screenshot, but this is for rent. So we can do the same thing for rent that we just had there for prices. Same filters here, black townhouse, 5-bedroom. And we can see there that that medium rent is $600, a high of $700. Just 4 properties for sale, no surprise there, and a low of $570. So it also tells you, if you're an investor, just put the strength of the current rental market is there in terms of what's being asked, the high, the low, the median, and the number of properties that are actually for sale. So I think it's a great little app. Of course, I would say that. And we are working to improve this app, more data. We're going to start looking at yields. We keep saying that, but it will be coming along, as well as including some auction results, maybe as a separate entity to this app. We'll have an auction app. But certainly we will have yields, which will be interesting for investors, because that will give them some sense of their return on investment on a suburb-by-suburb basis. And that will be filtered for the number of actual listings, so we don't get too volatile results. So that's it for this week, Len. Next week, March rent report, very exciting as usual. I'm not sure it'll be exciting. I think it'll be a bit of the same old, which is, you know, high rents, low vacancy rates, nothing improving. We'll have the latest home building approvals. Let's hope we can see an uptick in that, because that's what we desperately need, is more home building approvals. Mm. We're sort of bouncing along the bottom of the cycle for home building approvals at the moment. So let's hope we can get a concerted increase there. Not that that's going to make much difference to particularly our rental markets in the shorter term. We'll also have the latest home loan data from the ABS. It's the February data. And that's been interesting because it's been a little weaker generally lately, that home loan data, which I'm not sure about that, but it's certainly what has been interesting and predictable has been we've seen a surge in first home buyer lending recently. And I think that's no surprise given how high rents are, house prices are rising, you know, and I think first home buyers are really desperate to get into the market because it's just getting tougher and tougher all the time. And I do think, you know, some markets, particularly that Melbourne market, is showing signs, particularly units, that first home buyers are getting more active in the marketplace. And of course, our auction markets will resume at full pace this weekend after the holiday, Easter holiday break. So we'll have the latest weekend auction results. And we just might, if we get the time, have a look at the top performing agents as well for each of our capital city markets. So lots of data today. If you want to get a copy of today's presentation, there it is. If you want the data, you can get a copy of that on that QR code. But at the end of the day, another big week in property. Every week's a big week in property. And we'll follow it up with another big week next week. And just a shout out to Graham Home, who I think is having a birthday today.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, we won't have any age jokes, but
big happy
he's
birthday.
Pretty, he's a lot younger than me. But thanks so much. All good, mate. So we'll catch you next week. And everybody, I hope you had a great Easter. A bit of a drag going back to work, but I guess Anzac Day is coming, so you can look forward to that. And it's a Thursday, so maybe you can take the Thursday and the Friday and have a lovely long 4-day weekend. 5-day weekend.
Perfect, Doc. I appreciate your time.